Colorado for the opportunity to visit with you this afternoon. As you heard earlier, the BIF board was engaged in a strategic planning process back in April, and one of the ideas that was discussed at that time was exactly this topic. Should BIF expand its mission to include what we call the genetic and or phenotypic evaluation of commercial cattle? The participants discussed that at some length, and we decided that it would be worth at least presenting that here at the BIF meeting. We'll be interested in hearing your feedback and comments on this idea, and whether we pursue it or not will depend on the feedback that we get from you. So what do I mean by genetic evaluation of commercial cattle? It's the estimation of total genetic merit, and it has two components. There's an additive component, which predicts the performance of progeny of the animal we're evaluating. This is the breeding value we normally deal with in genetic evaluation that you're all familiar with. And it's the part that responds to selection. But then there's also a non-additive component. And this, it's really, I guess, the total of the additive and the non-additive component that predicts individual performance. This component can be managed, the non-additive component can be managed effectively through mating systems, but it does not respond to selection. And then this genetic evaluation of commercial cattle may or may not incorporate knowledge of the breed composition of the animals. We may need to apply it to animals for which we don't know anything about pedigree or breed composition. So genetic evaluation of commercial cattle is one thing. Phenotypic evaluation of commercial cattle is something else. And it's the prediction of future phenotypes based on analysis of large data sets analogous to our current national cattle evaluation of seed stock that you're all familiar with. And it would include both genetic and non-genetic factors. So it can be based on the total genetic merit or additive plus non-additive genetic evaluation of individuals in the group as deviated from the individuals in historical averages. But it might also include some things that haven't been included in our national evaluation of seed stock. And those would be things like the historical average phenotypes for each producer, predictions of the deviations in performance relative to the historical average for each producer based on differences in things like weather conditions, management practices, and other factors that we haven't really thought of yet. And then it could also be influenced by DNA tests that predict total genetic merit. So it's a fairly different vision using an overall framework that's not that different from our current national cattle evaluation system, but with statistical models that are significantly different from our current system. So the vision that we're trying to explore is a system that predicts phenotypic value for use in three different objectives that are somewhat similar and somewhat different. The first one on the list is value differentiation. That would be determining or influencing the price of cattle based on their predicted performance. This isn't what their predicted breeding value is, it's what their predicted performance is going to be for the person who buys them. So it's a little bit different than what we've done in the past. We might use it for targeted marketing. That's the case when we have a variety of different possible market niches that we might be looking at, and we want to determine which animal fits best in each different market niche. And that's something that we've done some of in the past, but I think we could do quite a bit better in the future. And then the third objective could be precision management. And the idea there is, once we've decided what the target market is for each animal, what can we do differently in the management of that animal to achieve that market target in the most efficient manner? So this would be kind of analogous to the precision farming that a lot of you are familiar with. So we might look at modifying the implant strategy, ration, time on feed, various things like this that we have some control over, on an individual basis so that each animal performs to its maximum potential. Once we've decided what our target is for that animal, and our decision on what target to go for might be based on the targeted marketing approach. So how can we achieve the vision? I think there's two different approaches that we could use to do this. One of them is a system of national cattle evaluation that is targeted to commercial cattle and, as I indicated earlier, based on some different statistical models. Another alternative that I assume a number of you have probably heard of is DNA testing for total genetic merit. We sometimes call it marker-assisted management. Or there are some real advantages if we could combine both of those strategies, at least some of the cattle in the industry. And I think there's quite a bit of synergy to be had by making that combination. So I'm going to talk first about vision for a national cattle evaluation system for commercial cattle. And I want to kind of review the history of the way that information has flowed through the beef industry. And if we think back 20 years ago, basically information just flowed from the seed stock producer down through to the packer, and there really wasn't much flowing in the other direction. In the 1990s, we started to have value-based marketing. So we started to see at least some price signals coming back in the other direction. That was due to things like alliances, branded products, and grids. And we take a lot of these things for granted now, but that is, most of you remember, some of you remember at least, 20 years ago, we really didn't have any of these things. So the industry's changed quite a bit in that period of time. And then more recently, as we started to really think about national animal ID, we saw additional opportunities for information to flow back. And there were companies formed that basically saw their business strategy as being trying to add value to national animal ID by carrying information back in this direction and really facilitating the flow of information in both directions for the benefit of the whole industry. And unfortunately, we're probably not as far along in the U.S. in that regard today as we were a few years ago before national animal ID became voluntary with a capital Z. But I think there's still opportunities there. So we'll need to find some entities in the market that really want to add value to this information. And I think we'll continue to see national animal ID become more and more useful even in the U.S. Obviously, Canadian hosts have national animal ID in a position to take advantage of these kinds of things. So what I'm going to describe is a system that we could envision that would give us a much stronger price signal working back this direction in the system. You know, I want to go through what's required in order to accomplish that. It's not trivial. So before I discuss what's required, we'll go through what some of the benefits could be. So we could expect to see predictions of future performance of economically important traits for commercial cattle that would consider the genetics and the past performance of the herd of origin. That could be used for value differentiation and also for targeted marketing and precision management. This approach would be much more effective at predicting the performance or the mean performance of groups than it would be in predicting differences among individuals within those groups. And so it's going to be better at the value differentiation objective and not as good at things like precision management. Another benefit of this approach would be more accurate culling of bulls that have been used in commercial herds and selection of replacement heifers going back into commercial herds. It also benefits the genetic evaluation of seed stock, and obviously if we can make the genetic evaluation of seed stock more effective, that benefits the commercial industry and the other segments of the industry as well. And this would be especially true for traits like carcass traits, that really are in principle, should be easily measured in the commercial industry, provided that we have some animal ID and systems for seamless flow of information back and forth between different players in different segments of the industry. It also could be quite valuable for things like reproductive traits that require large numbers of observations, larger numbers than are typically available in seed stock herds. We've really had limited success with genetic evaluation in seed stock. And I should say we've had quite a bit of progress in that direction in the last few years, but there's an awful lot of opportunity to go further in genetic evaluation of reproductive traits. And there's just an awful lot more data available in commercial herds than there is in seed stock herds if we can get access to that data to make those evaluations. And then there's another category of traits like disease resistance for which both of those characteristics are true. And obviously we just heard there's a lot of opportunity for genetics and disease resistance, but there's a lot of challenges in making that work as well. So this is kind of my schematic of how the system might work. And these are the new things that we need to capture in order to make it work. We need to be able to capture sire IDs out of the commercial sector. And then we need phenotypes flowing into a national database. And we need access to those phenotypes that are in the national database. And as I indicated, we do have service providers who want to capture this information and add value to this information in the industry. As far as I know, nobody is really working on trying to capture this sire ID. So I think that's the real trick, is if we can get these service providers to see the potential from this approach and get them to help their customers capture the sire ID component, I think that we can put the infrastructure together to make it work. And I don't think capturing the sire ID has to be all that difficult. It doesn't have to be identified to the individual sire. We can use multi-sire data. There are statistical techniques to do genetic evaluation from multiple sire matings. And it's obviously not as accurate as evaluations from single sire matings, but when we look at the volume of data that would be generated, I think we could add quite a bit of value in both the commercial evaluation and the seed stock evaluation by having multiple sire information. But the problem is we just don't have a way right now to capture who that list of sires was that was used to sire each group of calves. So as I tried to indicate on the previous slide, we need a seamless flow of information. We need benefits to everyone in the chains so that everybody that has to contribute something sees some value in doing that. And I hope that this stronger price signal will provide that incentive to all the players that need to provide the information over here. But it's a pretty big hurdle to get over to get everybody bought into the system. And the whole system kind of has to come together before anybody really sees the advantages of it. It also requires new national cattle evaluation models for predicting phenotypic merit, and I don't think that any of us really know very much about that. That'd be a fairly substantial investment, and so again, we have to have quite a bit of excitement about what the vision is before anybody's really going to make the investment to do that. And so that's another one of the hurdles we have to get over in order to make it work. And then really there's a relatively few bits of information that need to be transferred that we don't already have some sort of at least preliminary infrastructure to try and deal with. So those additional bits are, as I indicated before, the sire identification. We want to know either these commercial kids are sired, we know what the sire is, where we've got a list of possible sires for the calves in each group of cattle that we deal with. And then possibly, in multiple sire programs, we would compute sire probabilities based on paternity testing from DNA testing. But I want to emphasize that the DNA testing is not a prerequisite to setting this system up. This could work just fine without any DNA testing. I'm going to try to argue later that DNA testing would add value to this approach. And then we probably need to capture some management and environmental factors. And again, this shouldn't be too hard to come up with if we just develop the infrastructure to do it. But there's probably some of them that we don't have the infrastructure to do currently. But it can be set up without too much difficulty. I don't think that's a major hurdle for doing this. I talked about paternity testing a little bit earlier. Obviously, in C-stock herds, there's a lot of value to paternity testing in multiple sire matings. Well, you probably have heard John Pollock talk about the commercial ranch project that he set up several years ago, and he showed there is some value to commercial herds in using paternity testing to do within herd genetic evaluation. This would just be going a step beyond that and making it a national evaluation instead of a within herd evaluation. Now the other strategy that we could use to do this that doesn't really require any of that infrastructure that I just discussed is through DNA testing. And that would allow us to estimate total genetic merit in commercial cattle. If we're going to use DNA testing for that application, then the way we set up our DNA tests is going to be a little bit different, because we want to estimate both the additive and non-additive components of genetic merit, because that gets us closer to predicting phenotypes than if we estimate only the additive component. And so a lot of our current DNA tests are optimized to estimate the additive component of genetic merit, the breeding value, the part that's transmitted from parent to progeny, and that's appropriate for tests that are geared for selection of seed stock. So it's not that one or the other of those tests is better than the other. It's that one type of test is going to be more effective for selection of seed stock, and a little different type of test is going to be more effective for predicting future performance of commercial cattle. Those tests may even involve the very same markers, but there'll be a difference in how the information is extracted from those markers and how it's reported. It should be handled differently depending on the objective. This marker-assisted management type of test, or this strategy, as compared to the national cattle evaluation strategy, is going to be a lot better at predicting differences among individuals, but not as good at predicting means of phenotypes, because it will predict the genetic potential, but it can't tell anything about how the cattle are managed. It's just a prediction of genetic potential. Okay? But the objectives for this kind of approach, again, can be targeted marketing, precision management, value differentiation. Will it become a reality? We've been hearing about it for quite a few years. I think it's pretty safe to say this is the reason that most of the big companies are in the DNA testing business. They've been looking at this as their target market because the number of animals is just so much larger than the potential target in the seed stock industry. Several years ago, our advice to them was they had to get their foot in the door in the seed stock business first, because the price of the technology was just too high to make marker-assisted management work. That cost of technology is decreasing very rapidly, and I think we're really approaching, maybe almost there, the point where the cost could be feasible for parts of commercial production, provided that the benefit is sufficient, provided that those tests account for enough of the genetic variation that exists in the animals to provide a big enough payback to cover the cost of testing. We don't really know today where we are on that, what proportion of genetic variants is going to be feasible to account for within the next few years. But we're pretty confident that proportion of genetic variation is going to be quite a bit higher in the next few years. And it seems reasonable to expect that we would account for enough of that genetic variation to cover this cost of testing in a couple of circumstances in commercial beef production. Again, we don't know that, but it seems like a reasonable assumption today that that may be the case. So I think that sometime within the next few years, marker-assisted management is likely to become a driving force in the DNA testing business. To some extent, I think it's safe to say today in the thinking and business models of the companies that are active in the business, I think this is the driving force today. It's not the driving force in the products. You know, it's not driving their profits today, but it's driving what they're thinking about the future of their business is. And I think that in a few years, the seed stock industry is just going to benefit from this. We're going to have less expensive and more effective products to use, and it's going to be because there's a market for the products in marker-assisted management. We're going to actually be using products in seed stock selection that have been optimized for commercial cattle. And, we might say, well, that seems backwards. But I think really it'll be a beneficial thing for seed stock production as well. I think we'll just get better products that'll account for a lot more genetic variation, and we'll just take the same SNPs and we'll extract the information from them a little bit differently. What I think would be most effective for the industry, if we could get there, is to combine the national cattle evaluation approach and the marker-assisted management approach to DNA testing and take advantage of the synergy between those two approaches. The reason that they're synergistic is that I talked earlier about we can do the national cattle evaluation approach with multi-site mating pastures. But if we were also running marker-assisted management tests on those progeny of multiple sires, there's no question that there would be enough markers in any marker-assisted management product that we would envision having on the market really at any time in the future, that we'd be able to determine paternity of those calves given that we had the list of sires that went into the pasture. We might not get it to 99.9% certainty who the sire of every calf is, but we would capture most of the paternity information that's there, and we would capture it to the point that there wouldn't be any marginal benefit in spending more money to be certain about who the sire was. So if we thought about having both of these things in place, then the paternity comes almost for free as a consequence of having both of those kinds of infrastructure already provided by the basic contributions that each component makes. And then furthermore, if we had the huge database that the national cattle evaluation approach would generate for us, and then we also had run all these DNA tests on the animals that have phenotypes contributing to this large database, that would be a phenomenal resource with which to fine-tune the DNA tests and make those DNA tests considerably more effective than they can be based on the relatively limited numbers of animals that we have today that have DNA markers run across them. And so that's another way in which these two technologies are synergistic. So I think we can envision a system that has a lot of different components. There's a lot of interactions between these components, and there's a lot of synergies among these components. I think if we could pull it all together, there's a lot of value to the industry. As I indicated, a lot of hurdles to pull it all together. A lot of people have to agree this is what we want to do. We want to do what it takes to make it happen. And so The question I want to leave you with is, if we're going to do these things, should BIF be involved in these things? This evaluation of commercial cattle has never really been a core objective of BIF. We've talked about it at times, but it's really not a core part of our mission. Our mission is more genetic improvement through the seed stock sector, always keeping in mind that the commercial industry is our customer, always keeping their needs in mind, but not thinking about actually providing genetic evaluation of the cattle within the commercial segment of the industry. And so this is a pretty major change in philosophy for BIF if we go down this road. And so the question is, do you think we should take a stab at it? And we'd be very interested to get your feedback on it. I would love to visit with any of you about it for the rest of the meeting. If you can't catch me, talk to others of the board members. And we'll look forward to hearing what you have to say. I'd like to answer any questions.